My wife's probably got something planned, so, but maybe I'll just skip that. Well, over in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, we missed a class. We had some weather come in that was rather foul. And so we're still there in Philippi, and we're looking at, again, the conversion of the Philippian jailer. But we understand, because we were talking about this just a little bit, that Paul and Silas, they're being followed around by this girl who is just aggravating them to death. She's crying out that they are servants of God and that they show the way of salvation. Now, we talked about the girl and her possession just a little bit, but we know that she had these masters. Now, the masters she had were people who were making money off of her. So they were using her for some sort of fortune-telling. I don't know if that actually means she was able to actually tell fortunes. We just know that's what they were using her for. In fact, there's a lot of disagreement whether that is the case, whether she could tell fortunes or not, but we do know that's what's going on. But something we do see in such passages as Matthew 8, verse 29, there are other passages, even of Jesus, where demons would be able to say or realize who Jesus was. In this case, it says, "And suddenly they cried out, saying, 'What have you to do with us? Am I too loud?'" Because it's real, I'm getting a lot of feedback. Too loud? Okay? Okay. "And suddenly they cried out, saying, 'What have you to do with us, to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?'" Another passage that we can look at, very similar, is Mark 1, verse 24. Over there it says, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, they recognize that, and the same thing is going on, in essence, with Paul and Silas, right? And so we understand that Paul finally gets tired of it, and he's going to heal her. Now, there are going to be consequences because these guys are making money from this young lady. And so as he heals her, they're going to take Paul and Silas to the city authorities. Rather than telling them why they're really upset, it's about the money, they bring out these charges that they're doing things contrary to the Roman law. What happened to Paul and Silas? Prison. Before that, though, they did what? They beat him. This is a bad situation. In Acts 16, verse 20 through 21, it says, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly troubled the city," is what they said, "and teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, because they were received or observed." As a result, we know that they're going to be handed over to the Philippian jailer, and they're going to put them in the inner prison. They're going to put them in stocks. They're going to be kept. H. Leo Bull makes this comment. "And suddenly a violent uprising of the people reinforced the charges of the magistrates and did tear their own clothes off, but did tear the clothes of Paul and Silas." Certainly, one of the things I kept reading here, certainly give me some feedback as you're thinking about this as well. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul will talk in verse 25 about this being beaten. You might remember it says, "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep." Could this be one of those times? I think it probably was. Now, they received these stripes, many stripes. The Greek there, I put that up there for you to know. It just means many stripes, exactly what the text says. But as we've studied in the past, you remember this from our lesson on the resurrection of Christ. We talked about his crucifixion. So over in Deuteronomy 25, the Jews had no... I'm pulling this off, guys. I'm sorry. I love y'all, but... The Jews had no such law where they would have... the Romans had no such law where they would limit how many blows were given to the people who were being hit or beaten with the rods. It says, 40 blows he might give him, and no more, lest he should exceed this and beat him with many blows above these, and your brother be humiliated in your sight. The Romans beat somebody half to death, and that was the point. However, even though they're wrongly accused, go in your Bible to Acts 16. Will somebody read verse 25 for us? Would you mind to read that? Let me ask you something. If you were unjustly beaten, thrown into jail, you think you would have responded like that? I know I don't think I would. This is a great example for me, at least, and for all of us. What an example. These two were praying. They were singing praises to God. And I like what Johnny Stringer said over here, if I can get to it. There we go. They had been unjustly arrested, beaten, and thrown into a dungeon where they were confined in stocks. Under such circumstances, many men would have been bitter, steeped in self-pity, and questioning the justice of God. It certainly is a reason for despair. In your Bibles, I was going to eliminate one of these. We're going to look at the bottom one there, guys. Sorry about that. But if you go over to 1 Thessalonians with me, let's look at a couple things here. Over here in the text, when it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. We live in the real world. Anybody in this room ever been unjustly accused of anything? I'll tell you something. When I was a kid, I got beaten for something I did not do. It wasn't my fault. Anybody got an older brother? Yeah, I had older brothers. We went fishing, and my brother and I were walking down a creek by a state park in Shawnee Forest. The lake which fed the creek was called Turkey Creek Lake. And I'm slipping around, and I'm sliding, Larry. And my brother says to me, what you need to do is walk on the green stuff. It's just like grass. What happened to me? Flat on my back. My daddy was nice enough to buy me a brand new fishing pole. Guess what happened to that fishing pole? I had to explain that to my dad. And I will never forget that. I'll give you my brother's number tonight. You call that boy. Because he still gets a giggle out of that, telling me that. But the problem is, each one of us may have been unjustly charged with something. Though it wasn't my fault, I probably should have had sense enough not to listen to my brother. However, in the book of John, in the 14th chapter, verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Certainly, we know that with God, there's such security in our lives. There's such blessings in our lives. But when I think about people who've been in my life and touched my life and blessed my life, can you think of somebody who's influenced your life for good? Who've been great examples? Because when we look at the example of Paul and Silas, there's a great example there, isn't there? Can you think of one person that maybe influenced your life with the Lord?
My father.
There you go. I can think of my family members, granddad, my grandmother, my aunts and uncles. Anybody else? There are a lot of people in our lives. Woody's told me about his wife more than once. What a great influence. What a great influence. And we all think of somebody who has gone through so much. Many of you know people like I do who've just been through cancer, other trials in their life, and they just stay so faithful and so sound. And they're here every time the door is open. And they're just great examples to us. I thought of a person that Judith and I knew in college. In fact, she was there after we were there. We went to school with her brother. This little girl was in school. She's very, very faithful, very sweet young lady, and you loved her. She went into her room one night with a headache. She had a massive hemorrhage, and she died. It devastated some people around her. But her gospel preacher father didn't touch. She's in heaven. You know, what faith. She was an example to everyone. She loved everyone you came in contact with. She was my wife's little buddy at camp for years gone by. But as we think about some things, let's go forward here. We have Paul and Silas, of course, in the jail. We find out that Luke is going to be using a word here, simos. I always say that wrong. The earthquake is a word that was used over in another place, and I just want to share this with you because I pulled it up here for us. In chapter 4, verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness." The word shaken is an idea of greatly shaken. So this was a serious earthquake. And as we look at the life of this person, he sees all the doors open. And what was he going to do to himself? The jailer. He's going to kill himself, wasn't he? We know that. Well, it seems that way at least. And what did Paul tell him? John, you remember? Don't harm yourself. Yeah. We're here. And so this jailer doesn't harm himself. All the people are there. Again, I wanted to quote something from Brother Bowles here. Brother Bowles says he was about to kill himself by the Roman law. The jailer was subject to the same death as the escaped prisoner would have suffered. Now, I really had hoped that we could have this lesson right before we had the lesson that we did on the resurrection, but it just didn't work out that way. In Acts 12, if you go all the way over there with me, or back there with me, to verse 19, we'll see another text over here where people were not so fortunate, where it says, "But when Herod had searched for him," and we see this person, they didn't find him, "and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death." This was a death sentence. And Paul would say, verse 28, "Do thyself no harm." The jailer obtains a light. He checks everything out. And he asks him what he must do to be saved. And here's where some disagreement begins. Let's look at verse 31 again. David, would you read verse 31 there?
"They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.'"
So what's he telling them to do? To believe, right? Now, what do we normally see in the scriptures when somebody says that? There's normally a dissension, isn't there? Some, oh, you got to believe only. Well, that's certainly not the case in this situation. When we think about belief, it's a part of the plan of salvation. We understand also that believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's clear, you and your household. But belief, as I say here, is part of the plan of salvation. But in Galatians 5, verse 6, it talks about this belief. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." A dead faith is a faith that does nothing. An active living faith is a faith that works. And in this case, it talks about working in love. We do understand clearly that this is not the only verse that people try to use in the book of Acts to disprove baptism. Not too far from here. And I'm not going to mention the name. There is a... Have you ever heard a Church of Christ preacher talk about faith only? and really said, that's for salvation. Well, it's happening. It happens. I have no idea how. I don't understand how anybody could say that or teach that or get that from the book of Acts. But we do know that as we look here in this text, that we're not talking about faith only to save someone. We're talking about faith that works in obedience. It's a part of the plan of salvation. Brother Bowles pointed out there was no delay in doing what was commanded to be done. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I go ahead here and it says, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. We certainly understand that. I'm going to stop right there because we went through a lot. Before we move forward, any comments? Anything we need to say there? Look at verse 34. Somebody take verse 34 for us. Jeff, can you do that for us, chapter 16?
Acts 16:34.
Uh-huh.
And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced.
And what does the last part say? What did they do? They had joy?
Set meat before them.
And?
And rejoiced.
And rejoiced. Somebody look at verse 38 for us. Will somebody read verse 38? John, would you do that for us, brother?
And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans.
Okay. So on one hand, you have the joy of the jailer. You have the people who improperly beat and imprisoned Paul and Silas, and they are not rejoicing. They were afraid. Why would that be a case? If you harm a Roman citizen, were there any consequences? Do we know of anything? You're shaking your head? Yes. What do we know?
You had to be, that you couldn't just be accused and have it done. You had to go before a magistrate or go through a process. And they just flogged them without even knowing that they were citizens.
And if you did that, if you're a Roman citizen, there were consequences, weren't there? Look at verse 36 through 39. Would somebody read that section for us, please, now? Acts 16.
So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go.
We've been blessed to have people give us direction, elders lead us in direction this year and in the past. And one of the things that we've dealt with, we've spoken about at request of others here, is we've dealt with the concept of our political rights. We've looked at some of those. And when we look at such passages as Ephesians 4, let's just start with this. Verse 26, Paul is the one who writes by the inspiration of God, be angry and walk and sin not, right? Goes on there to say, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Because you get angry, you can just let the devil slip on in. We understand that as well. However, when I ask the question, can we use our rights as Christians and as citizens of this country? Can we do that? Are we allowed to do that? Is there anything wrong with Paul doing that? There's nothing wrong when we do that, is there? How do we do that as Christians? Like anyone else who's a citizen, really. Without insurrection, of course, or taking up arms. I don't know what you guys think about this. Anybody, I ask, I don't think you are. Anybody on TikTok or have family members on TikTok? And you know about the fact that they can know everything about you if you have TikTok on your phone. Get rid of it. And it's coming from China. We know these things, and it makes me pretty angry. So I'm going to tell you, I really want to write a letter to our congressperson and express my anger for us even allowing it in the country. They've had, in Washington, D.C., they've had some hearings about this. And So it's just really frustrating. But again, we use our rights. I don't like to talk about beer, but I hope you'll forgive me, all right? I didn't put the slide up because I just don't like to advertise beer. Bud Light's going through what right now? The Ringer, because they chose to try to use a transsexual man as a spokesperson. And what they found out was, our country's not ready for that. Now, I hate again to talk about beer, but if you read politics, you're going to read it. Yin Yang, whatever it is. One of the beers. oldest in this country. So when the Bud Light people did that, you know what they did? They put the flag up, and they talked about America. Guess what beer's really popular right now? Now, here's my point, though. My point is, you and I realize we have these rights to use. We just need to keep using them. We just need to keep doing the things that we know we need to do. We do need to keep using them. Let's go over to Acts 22 for a second, though. We're going to veer just a little bit from what that point was, but in Acts 22 together. We're going to start, I'm going to read verse 25 through 27. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, "Take care, be careful, be careful. Be careful. Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman." Then the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." The commander answered, "With a large sum, I obtained the citizenship." How did Paul receive his citizenship? He was born that way. That had a lot more clout than buying it your way in there. But he was born that way. Then Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. And then you can go ahead and read the rest of that section there. Now, I put all of that in here, but I wanted to just read it tonight, just to go ahead and say again what we've already said. We see Paul is a Roman citizen. There are consequences for what has happened. There's nothing in the world wrong with Paul having those guys come there and admit they did wrong. And I just don't know if I would have done that. So what do we learn? One, as we've already said, we can learn about our political rights. Two, are we doing anything wrong when we do that? And by the way, I read an article this week today frustrated me about that very thing. There's nothing wrong, in my opinion. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think the Bible clearly says we can use our rights. We've asked the question, how can we do that? And then we're going to move forward here into chapter 17. However, as we move forward, we went through a lot tonight. Anything else that we need to mention or anything I might have left unsaid?
I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So when Paul was born a Roman citizen, does that mean his father was Roman or he was just born in the Roman province? We don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, we do assume that it's where he was born, though. But asking about his father, I don't have an answer for that. You have an answer for that one? I don't think so, from what I know. But it was where he was born. Tarsus, that is Rome. Yeah. Anyone else? Fall down, kill myself here. So as we go to chapter 17, now we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolia and Apollonia, I can't even say it now, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, entered in and it says, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, set all of the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and there are all, and they, these are all acting contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go." Philippi and Thessalonica is around 100 miles difference. Luke is going to do something here that we've already talked about. Remember we said there were personal pronouns? We, us? Well, they're going to disappear. And if you ask me, I'm going to tell you, I don't have an answer for that either. there's some thought that he would stay in Philippi. Because it doesn't appear that in the scriptures he's any longer with them. Now, here's some of the things that we can look at again just to see these historical sites. But we do see here this amphitheater, and this was in that city. This is a thing that was also seen there carved in the city. We see the Romans there. We see the idol there on the right side. This is the one that I think is kind of neat. And not that I'm an archaeologist at all. I do think it's cool when I look at this and notice the level of the city, the streets of the city, how high it is. And then they actually had to dig down to find this stuff. And yet this is the old area there in Thessalonica. And so it just gives us an idea of a real place. We see the Roman influence there, the columns, and the street. But following their normal pattern, they go and they preach to the Jews. In your Bibles, in my Bible, in Romans 1, verse number 16. Romans 1, verse number 16. Over there, we can read what Paul says about not being ashamed of the gospel. But he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." And then it goes on to say, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." But the part we want to see is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. They just follow the regular pattern here. And they go in and they teach. And they preach. And what happens? When they do that, the Jews are going to become envious, because people are going to go over to be a part of the church. They're going to be converted to Christ. Does anything like that happen today? Sure. Since you read that thing Sunday, Rick, I did some checking on some stuff. I thought it was really cool. I love that thing you read. In India. So I made some contacts just to find out a little bit more information about some of the work there. And I found out about, you know, denominations, and you have the church. There's this tension that's there, but people are still envious when they see all of these numbers coming to Christ there. Do you guys know what Hinduism is? There's this pantheon gods, and quite frankly, I don't think anybody has. The whole country is really steeped in paganism, and yet when the gospel goes there and preaches, and somebody is converted, a family member, as Rick pointed out, may be just excommunicated from the family. Now, we might think about that when it comes to things like Muhammad or Islam. But it's all over the world. It's always been that way. You know anybody in America whose family turned away from them because they became a Christian? I do. And it's a sad thing, isn't it? Because you decide to obey the gospel because you want to go to heaven. People will sometimes, their families just don't like it. They'll turn away. I'm very blessed. Most of my family are members of the church. Some of you, maybe not. My brother Bill, who I've told you about before, was a Baptist. He didn't like what I thought about music, especially, because my brother is very talented. But the bottom line I'm trying to point out here is that there's really nothing new under the sun. If it happened then, it's going to happen now. And when somebody's envious, rather than talk about what the real problem is, and they try to stir up problems for other people, anybody do that for Christians today? All the time. You and I are the problem. And so problems are stirred up. So they go to Jason's house where Paul and Silas were staying. They don't find Paul and Silas. There's false charges brought up here. And just like every time, if you can't beat somebody's doctrine or their lifestyle, you're going to make something up and attack that. And in this case, we do understand, just as Christ had been falsely charged of things like being another king. Yeah, he is a king, but he didn't try to take Caesar's position. I read a thing about Johnny Stringer tonight. I quoted him. Johnny's done a lot of work in China through the years. And talked to him, I don't know, a couple months ago. And Johnny's probably never going to go back, because it gets pretty bad for some people. They arrested him once when he was there. Fortunately, the American government got him out of that situation. Now, I mentioned Johnny for this one thing. Johnny tried to tell soldiers that the best citizens in the world, they're Christians. Why? Because we obey the laws. As long as they don't violate God's laws, we're going to obey the laws. And I always liked that Johnny did that, and I think that's true. Any comments thus far? Let's look a little further here. In your Bibles, go to Acts, John, the 18th chapter. And this will be our last point, guys. I'm sorry. Verse 26. Jesus made the observation, and John was mentioning this a couple weeks ago, and he talked about the two swords, that'll be enough. And John made mention of this passage. John 18 and verse number 26. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Goes on to say, so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here. Where's his kingdom? Are we in the kingdom? Let's ask that question. We are in the kingdom. But in this situation, we do understand he is going to go home to his Father. We understand someday, as we've spoken last week, we're going to go to heaven, something we look forward to. Somebody read the PowerPoint and they sent me a note back and didn't say anything else. And I said, I want to go. I thought that was really cool because we do want to go to heaven. But just last point I might point out here is even though there's these false charges over and over, it's the same pattern. It happened then, it happens now. In conclusion. Let's see if I can read this to us. Her name is Haley. She lives in London. She moved there from the U.S. Even in London, which is a wonderful city, it's different than being here. She's Christian. There's a church right by the Air Force Base there. Been known to be there very sound for years. It's in, by the way, it's in a beautiful old building. So there are other churches in the area, but that's one I know of. But Haley talks about even living in London and how different it is from America. But the problem is even America now has so many problems. As we conclude tonight, we know our home isn't here. And there's a lot of people we need to be praying for around the world. Haley is a great young lady. I happen to know somebody who's going to be dating her. So I'm kind of happy about that. Don't always play matchmaker, get you in trouble. But as we conclude tonight, any comments before we go to our Father in prayer? Brother?